Please turn in your Bibles now to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. As we continue through our series in the book of Proverbs, at this point a series that will contain Proverbs 1 through 9, and then we'll be taking a break for a while. We approach Proverbs chapter 8. You'll recall in Proverbs chapter 7 that we considered the speech of the forbidden woman. And everything about her was sordid, everything wrong. She was on the dark and sinful alleyway, completely wicked, and her path led to death. In Proverbs chapter 8, we find ourselves back on the streets, away from the woman's alleyway, and we have a different speaker. Wisdom itself begins to speak. And wisdom here is everything that the woman is not. And wisdom here points all of us to life. So we will read Proverbs 8, all 36 verses. But before we read, let's pray. Father, as we come to a text like this, we just ask for your wisdom. We ask that the wisdom of God would be with us, that we would know you, that we would know your word, that we would know your truth, that you would be our teacher, and that we too would grow in wisdom. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 36. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight. Rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. This is the word of God. Well, I wonder, when is the last time you found something worth finding? Something worth finding. And maybe you say, yeah, I find something worth finding almost every day. I lose my wallet, I lose my phone, I lose my keys, and then I find them. That's worth finding. Well, if that's you, I'm glad you found your keys and you made it here this evening. But I wonder when's the last time you found something of great and lasting substance, of value, worth finding. All of the great pursuits of humanity in some way can be described as the pursuit of something worth finding. It's been said that the discovery of the Americas came about because explorers decided that there was something worth finding beyond the horizon, beyond the sea. In all our realms of life, we find ourselves pursuing something worth finding, the pursuit of a job, the pursuit of love, the pursuit, as the movie describes it, the pursuit of happiness. In some ways, pursuing something worth finding is just what it means to be human. And Proverbs 8 gives us a picture of people walking in the streets, walking in the city gates, the portals of the town, and they're seeking something. Perhaps these are those seeking her alleyway. Perhaps they're seeking another alleyway. Perhaps it's you. As you picture yourself walking the city gates, walking this pathway of life, and wisdom says and cries out, I have the one thing worth finding. 8 verse 9, you find knowledge. Verse 17, find me. Verse 35, find me. Verse 36 speaks of those who fail to find me. As we come to this passage, I want you just to picture yourself as seekers on the pathway. And in some ways, that shouldn't be hard for you to picture yourself as someone on a pathway seeking something. Within 12 hours or so, many of you will find yourself on 65 or 465 or 70 on a pathway towards your job where you're seeking something. Or you'll be on the pathway of your school hallways seeking something. Seeking career, seeking success, seeking relationship, seeking. And the question is this, you'll be seeking. You're human, you'll be seeking. Will you be finding? And will you be finding something worth finding? Proverbs 8 comes to us as seekers and says you don't just have to be seekers, you can be finders. It would come to the skeptical, the doubting, the uncertain, those longing to seek and find something, and wisdom says, find me. Find me. I'm the way to knowledge. It comes to the believer, living our life, seeking the Lord. And wisdom here says, find me. And how are we going to find wisdom? What we really find in this text by just hearing wisdom's speech. Wisdom's speech is somewhat like the budding of a flower in the spring. Weather like today's, some of you are already longing for this. At first, the flower springs forth. It's just a little stem above the ground, and there's a beauty in that. And then the flower buds, and there's a beauty in that. And then it comes out in its full glory. As we go through the text, the glory of wisdom just expands for us. It gets more and more glorious as we recognize what wisdom is saying. And all we want to do is just work through the text and see wisdom's glory expanding for us. In three stages, or in three ways, wisdom showing us what's worth finding. And the first shoot that just springs above the ground is wisdom offering a knowledge worth finding. Wisdom offering a knowledge worth finding. That's verses 1 through 9. Verses 1 through 9 are really all about introducing the speech, first section of the speech here, and they end with that find language. Verse 9, straight to him who understands, right to those who find knowledge. And really the point of these verses is to get people to listen. To get the fool, to get the children of men on the pathway to listen, to get you to listen to wisdom. And that's a hard task. Why is that a hard task for wisdom? Well, look who wisdom is speaking to. Verse 4, it's the children of man. Verse 5, simple ones. Verse 5, fools. They're walking on the streets to their destruction, and wisdom standing up and saying, "Hear ye, hear ye, I've got something to tell you. I've got to get your attention." If you are asked to make a speech like that, go to the crossroads somewhere, the thing you might ask yourself is, well, how do I get their attention? How do I get people to listen to me? Look what wisdom does. How does wisdom get the attention of us on the pathway? Wisdom's method is this: meeting you where you are and then speaking with a captivating authority. Meeting you where you are and then speaking with authority. Meeting you where you are. It's fascinating. In our culture, so many pursuits of wisdom, if you ask someone where to go for wisdom, they would tell you to go away somewhere. The classic picture, what do? You go to the guru on the mountain, he's meditating on one hand clapping or something, and you go away and you go find him. Or maybe you go to a library and you pull a book off the shelf that's 100 years old. Or maybe you go to Google, try to find wisdom there, and you read something from a person you'll never meet. That's not how wisdom operates. What does wisdom do? Wisdom meets you on the path. On the heights, verse 2, beside the way, at the crossroad, beside the gate, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal. How many words is Solomon going to use here to say, wisdom's meeting you right where you are? The wisdom of God comes where you are and speaks to your need. That's what the Word of God is doing for you even this evening. Coming to you and saying, listen. Listen to this wisdom, and we ought to just praise God. Wisdom meets us at the crossroads of our life, and then speaks with authority, a captivating authority. Listen to the boldness of wisdom in verses 6 through 8. I speak noble things. I speak what's right. My mouth utters truth. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth are righteous. Most of us, if we're giving counsel to someone for a long period of time, at some point have to say something like this: I'm not the expert on that issue. I'm just one opinion. You know, maybe you should talk to someone else. Here's wisdom. All the words of my mouth are righteous. Every single thing I say is true. That's bold. Wisdom hasn't even said much so far in this passage, and wisdom is advertising itself as infallible truth. What's the point of that boldness? To get your attention. To get the fool who's walking on the path and he's looking this way and she's looking that way and so on and so forth. And the fool hears wisdom crying out at the front of the town, and the fool says, what did wisdom say? What was it that wisdom said there? All the words are righteous. All the words are righteous. The idea is to grab your attention. If you're at a music camp or something like that, and you're there, and all of a sudden you're with your friends and you look up and Yo-Yo Ma walks in the room, you say, okay, now we're paying attention. Here's someone with a resume worth listening to. Here's wisdom. I'm perfect. I speak nobility, righteousness. I've never missed a note in my words. And the call for you, whether you're the fool, the simple one, or walking in Christ, the call for you as you hear this is to stop in your tracks and hear. To listen. Listen to the wisdom of God. Wisdom here is speaking in a way others don't speak. In the world of academia, in the world of philosophy, so much of the speaking is advertising uncertainty, caution. We can't know for sure. Wisdom is here saying, I've broken through that realm, and I'm giving you perfect knowledge. If you're skeptical, if you're doubting, or if you're a strong believer, you ought to be saying, I need to listen here. Where have your ears been in the last week? What are you listening to? Are you stopping and saying, this is the word I need to listen to? Maybe this is just applying to you right now. Maybe your mind is drifting. And the wisdom of God, not because it's me speaking, because this is God's wisdom speaking, the wisdom of God is saying, every word of this text right here is perfection. Listen, pay attention. Pay attention, because wisdom's going to offer something for you to find that's spectacular, that's glorious. Don't miss your chance to listen to the wisdom of God. Get your attention. That's verse 1 to 9. That's just a shoot that's beginning to come above the ground. But wisdom carries on. We discover that as that shoot begins to bud into a flower, it's not just a knowledge worth finding. It's a glorious treasure worth finding. A glorious treasure worth finding. Verses 10 through 21. As you look at verse 10 to 21, for a moment, it sounds as though you're reading more pirate adventure story than lecture on wisdom. Look how treasure language brackets verse 10 to 21 as a section, kind of marking off these verses. Verse 10, silver, knowledge better than choice gold. 11, we've got jewels. Down to verse 18, riches, honor, wealth. 19, gold, fine gold, silver. 21, an inheritance that fills your treasuries. Wisdom is pouring out riches here. And this is presented, it's not a pirate adventure story, but this is an adventure. The pathway of life is finding the treasure offered by the wisdom of God. That's what you're finding. Now, some of you might say at this point, the passage isn't saying find treasure. The find language of 10 through 21 is to find wisdom, find me. Verse 17, those who seek me diligently find me. Well, if you've got that observation, you've got the point. The wisdom offered here is not abstract concepts. The wisdom offered here is personal. It's a personal offer of wisdom. Find me. It's fascinating. Outside of words like and, the, or of, the most common, three most common words in this passage are I, me, and my. The emphasis is on the personal nature of wisdom. And these verses 10 through 21 emphasize that more than any. Verse 12, that emphasis on I, wisdom. I find knowledge. Verse 14, I have counsel. The phrase, I have insight, is literally, I am insight. Wisdom is making a personal offer of wisdom itself to the fool, the children of man, at the crossroads. And obviously at this point, we are in the metaphorical imagery of wisdom literature. But that metaphor stretches forward and makes a point. The wisdom that you need, the wisdom you need to make it on the pathway, the wisdom I need, is intensely personal. This is why if I go to wikihow.com and find its article on gaining wisdom, I won't get what I need. I may get tips. I'm not getting a person. But wisdom here offers itself. Now, how can wisdom possibly be offered as a person? There's question here, debate among scholars, how much Solomon would fully comprehend the nature, the personal nature of wisdom. How much is Solomon referring to here? But the rest of Scripture makes it clear. Who is the personal offer of wisdom to you? How do you find personal wisdom? How about Romans 16, 25? To the only wise God, referring to the Father. How about Isaiah 11? Speaks of the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah might as well be quoting Proverbs chapter 8 and pointing us to the ministry of the Spirit. How about 1 Corinthians 1:24? We preach Christ, the wisdom of God. Father, Son, Spirit. When wisdom comes to you at the crossroads, wisdom offers the treasure of the personal triune God. It's God Himself being offered here. Verse 13, the Lord who we are to fear. And when we fear the Lord, and when wisdom speaks to us as the Lord, as the triune God, we find God. That's the treasure. That's the golden treasure. No wonder it's better than choice silver. No wonder it's better than fine gold. We get the personal God. And what happens when we get the personal God? He offers us comprehensive wisdom. Just look at the array of wisdom words, this array of words found in these verses. Verse 10, we get instruction and knowledge, teaching that guides us on our path with the Lord. Here's what you do. Here's how you go forward. Verse 11, we get prudence and discretion. Prudence and discretion are really all about moving from comprehension to implementation. I understand the instruction. It takes prudence to implement it. Verse 14, we get counsel, sound wisdom, insight. This is along the lines of military and political counsel. That's why verse 15 and 16 speak of kings and rulers and princes. This is the type of counsel on solving real-world problems. The knowledge we get that we know how to implement becomes insight into solving the real-world problems in front of us, the type of problems the kings and the rulers and the princes would face. And it's offered to you. And in many ways, this summarizes the offer of wisdom in the whole book of Proverbs. Proverbs 10 and following, a series of Proverbs on an array of issues, offer knowledge, implementation, counsel on living a life of wisdom. But don't miss the starting point. Where do we get that? It begins with the offer of wisdom as personal. The triune God offered to you. That's the treasure. That's the treasure offered. The question is, are you seeking that treasure? Verse 20, this wisdom is walking in the paths. This wisdom is on the path. God Himself has come to the path. Is God on your path? Are you seeking His wisdom, His treasure? Are you before Him day by day saying, I long for this treasure from you? This is the flower that's begun to bud. And it's beautiful. And then we come to verse 22 and we realize we've just scratched the surface. We've just scratched the surface. Because what blooms in verse 22 and following is a glory that there's almost no comparison to in the poetry of the rest of Scripture. The knowledge worth finding emerges as a treasure worth finding, which emerges as an eternal creation glory worth finding. Eternal creation glory worth finding, verses 22 through 36. Particularly in verses 22 through 31, we are ascended by the words to heaven itself. We're brought to before the creation of the world. We're meant to read these verses and just stand in awe. These are verses, again, about finding. They lead to verse 35, whoever finds me finds life. But the way to finding here is to have your jaw dropped to the ground in awe at the wisdom of God. Because suddenly you realize who's speaking to you at the crossroads. It's one who dwelt eternally with the Lord, labored in creation, and delighted before the Lord. Eternal dwelling, laboring in creation, delighting in the Lord. We'll just start with dwelling eternally with the Lord, verses 22 through 25. We're in pre-creation here, before the world was created. Pre-depths, pre-springs, pre-mountains, pre-hills. The time of wisdom, dwelling eternally with the Lord. Some of you may look at the language of the text here and say, this doesn't quite sound eternal. Wisdom is spoken of as being set up, as being brought forth, verse 24, brought forth, 25. What's going on? How can wisdom be created before time? Well, trust me, this has been debated. Perhaps one of the most debated texts throughout the history of the church. And some go here and say, well, this is referring to Christ, and Christ here is created, so Christ is not equal with the Father, and so on. There's a technical word we can use to describe this idea, that wisdom here is being created and thus less than the Father, not eternal, and so on and so forth. The technical word is hogwash. That's not what the text is saying. Utter hogwash to say that this would be saying that wisdom is not eternal. Think about it. God is in Himself wise? Did God have to create his wisdom? God could no more create wisdom than he could create himself. God is in himself wise. We're in pre-creation, pre-time language here. Our language doesn't have the capacity to fully say it, to fully understand it. But the idea is that of eternal generation. Big words. Big words. Eternal generation. Wisdom eternally with the Father, with the Lord, and yet proceeding from the Lord. Now you say, I don't fully understand that. That's okay. Your job is to believe and accept and to stand in awe. This is as close as we get to language in the Old Testament that would compare to language of the New Testament, of the eternal Son dwelling with and proceeding from the Father in all eternity. And what we're supposed to get is not these long-winded meditations on the nature of metaphysics or something like that. What we're supposed to get is this. Eternal wisdom is speaking to you at the crossroads. The one who dwelt eternally with the Lord is by the city streets speaking to you. You know, it's not too hard to get us to stand in awe of someone we speak to. You speak to a World War II veteran and it's just, you're a bit in awe, and rightly so. This is amazing. You speak to a famous athlete and you're a bit in awe. The wisdom of God that's dwelt eternally with the Lord speaks to you. Stand in awe. And he's not just the one who dwelt with the Lord. Verse 27 through 30, the wisdom of God worked with the Lord in creation. Verse 27 through 30, this beautiful picture of creation itself. Now some might read this and say, wisdom here is the silent observer. You know, when he established the heavens, I was there. Wisdom's just watching. Keep reading the text. It's not what it's saying. Verse 30, what's it like for wisdom to be beside the Lord in creation? Then I was beside him like a master workman. Wisdom beside the Lord here is the master workman in creation. As the heavens are established, wisdom is there as the workman of creation. When the deep, when the springs, when the waters are made, wisdom is the workman. When the foundations of the earth, when the mountains are established, wisdom is the workman. Have you ever wondered why people at times will stand in silent awe by the Grand Canyon for hours? What's going on there? They're not just pondering random molecular formulations. They are seeing the handiwork of the master workman, the wisdom of God. Calvin says, there is no spot in the universe wherein you cannot discern at least some sparks of his glory. You go outside and look tonight, you're going to see sparks of the glory of God. And the awe is this. The one who made that, the one who made that world, is speaking to me at the crossroads, speaking with me, coming and offering wisdom itself. But don't miss where wisdom's exploration, wisdom's meditation here runs to in verses 30 and 31. Wisdom didn't just make the world. Wisdom delighted before the Lord in the world. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. A picture of Trinitarian delight in the creation of the world. Delighting in the handiwork of God. This is really poetic language for, and God saw all that he had made. And behold, it was good. It was very good. It was good. And what is the pinnacle? What is the pinnacle of the Lord's delights here? Verse 31, the children of man. the children of man, the sons of Adam. We've seen that language before. Verse 4, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. And suddenly we realize why wisdom is standing at the crossroads. God made a perfect world. One in which the seas would never transgress their command. They'd always be where they are supposed to be. It's a world created in glory, and the pinnacle of that glory is the children of man, the sons of Adam. And what are the sons of Adam now? They're fools. They're the simple. They're running along the pathway. And instead of finding God, they've run away from God. The creation God delighted in now groans under a curse. And here we discover the greatest glory of our God. That the wisdom of God created the glory of creation. And the wisdom of God comes to the crossroads to rescue it. As the wisdom of God stands at the crossroads, we discover this is not so much a story of man finding God. This is a story of the wisdom of God finding man. The wisdom of God here has come to earth and left the eternal dwelling of glory to stand by the city gates and find the children of man who the wisdom of God delighted in. And the wisdom of God is here saying, listen to me, son. Listen to me. Be blessed. Find me for 35. Find life. Obtain favor from the Lord. And the beauty here is this. This is not just a poem. This is not just a metaphor. This is the story of history. Because the wisdom from on high has come in the person of Jesus Christ. O come our wisdom from on high, who ordered all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. The wisdom of God came. Emmanuel has come. And Emmanuel has come as the wisdom of God. And no matter how you're walking or where you're walking tonight, whether you're a fool, the children of man, you're walking in the ways of as simple, or you've known Him all your life, the wisdom of God is at the crossroads saying, listen to me. Christ has come, not simply as the creator of eternal glory, but as the creator who would come and stoop to us to speak at the crossroads and say, listen, find blessing, find life. 1 John 5, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Whoever has the Son has life. The wisdom of God stands at the crossroads. And the wisdom of God is crying out to you, showing His glory and saying, you may find me. And we don't simply find wisdom as an abstract idea. We find the living God and we find life. Tonight, where do you need the wisdom of God? Are you a fool? Lacking knowledge, lacking to know the way? He is the way. Are you simple? Are you running on the path to destruction and you barely even know it? He's the life. Are you looking for truth? Are you looking for the truth of God? Is that what you're seeking? He's the truth. The wisdom of God. The way, the truth, and the life. That's what you need. Seek Him. Find Him. Find Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do rejoice to be found by You. Lord, Make us those who would find you, find your wisdom as the eternal glory. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for our Savior. Find us, Lord. Find us in your hand, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.